Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of the yard. Long drive back from Columbia, Missouri. It was a good trip outside of the football game. It truly was. We spent Friday night in Branson, Missouri. Had a chance to see Tristan Reed, Mississippi State's new four-star center from Link Academy. It's interesting, too, that to be quite honest with you, I have probably played church league basketball in gyms bigger than that one. But it was incredible, the talent on that roster. You had a pair of Michigan State signees. You got a Gonzaga signee. You've got, of course, a Mississippi State signee, a Kansas signee. It is an incredible roster that Coach Myers and his staff has assembled at Link Academy. The quality of instruction appears to be absolutely outstanding. Coach Myers was an assistant coach at New Mexico State prior to taking this job and after Chris Jans had left for Mississippi State. They play a national level schedule, so there's no really concern about, you know, the level of competition. This young man is a very polished player that is playing against some very talented opposition. He also has two grandfathers from the great city of Starkville, Mississippi. How about that? You probably didn't know that. We talked with him and his coach following the game. On our way there, we stopped at Arkansas's own David's Burgers. Now, if you have been in the great state of Arkansas as a traveler and not partaken of David's Burgers, you have done natural state travel incorrectly. There's one in Conway, which is the one that I'm more familiar with. We stopped at the one in Little Rock. It's kind of difficult to get to be quite honest with you. You better know where you're going. If not, it's like that that scene in European Vacation when Chevy Chase can't get out of the roundabout, and they keep, you know, it's Big Ben, kids. Yeah, that's what it feels like. But we made it there, had a great meal, great service. This is an unpaid advertisement. We had a great time. But then, you know, we spent a night in Branson and went to, we're right there in the heart of things, and went to this little place, something Hall, and had their pizza buffet. But the best pizza we had, of course, was Shakespeare's Pizza, just outside of Como, like coming from the Jeff City side. It was great. Did not get a chance to see my buddies in Shaman's Harvest. Hit Josh and those guys up and offered to buy them pizza. They're out of the area right now, but and then we went on to Como and then watched a football game that we looked ill-prepared for. And then we made the long drive home and then slept a few hours yesterday, got up, had some food, watched a little TV, went back to bed. But we're now fully rested. We're ready for today's show. And I got a lot to talk about. We're going to change the format up a little bit today because I think, you know, our observations mean a little bit more than the play-by-play does. So a little different format today. There is no Jeff Levy press conference today since there is an open date. We are expected to have some media availability with players and Levy on Wednesday. And there are some things that we need to talk about. It's true. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. And as much as I like David's Burgers, I don't like them near as much as I do Bulldog Burger Companies. Not even close. One of the things I love about the great Bulldog Burger Company is the variety of options that I can choose from on their menu. If you're feeling like a burger today, you know what? The Bulldog will scratch you where you itch. If you want to branch out a little bit, let me recommend the Smokehouse, the Pimentology, add bacon. I don't even like pimento and cheese sandwiches. Matter of fact, I despise them. I don't know why people bring them to big events. I don't understand it. It's such a polarizing food. It is. But the Pimentology burger at Bulldog Burger Company is a uniter. It's great, man. Again, I don't like pimento and cheese sandwiches, but I love that hamburger. I even threw a couple pieces of bacon on there to get a little extra protein out of my meal. I would suggest you do that as well. You're going to be very pleased with that selection. I'm telling you, you will be. Maybe the Smokehouse is for you, a little beefier. the Bryant, the Lauren, always something new to try at Bulldog Burger Company. They keep things fresh. Great food, great service, great atmosphere, all at a great price. You put your feet under their table, just let them take care of everything. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. And, of course, as we prepare for the holidays, you need to be looking your best. You need to maybe take an uptick in your spring rolls intake so you can look your best for those holiday pictures. Those will last a lifetime. It's true. Everybody's going to put on those matching pajamas for some reason. You want to be looking your best because years from now, people are going to go back and say, look at this. Do you remember this? And you're going to be like, oh, man, I was deprived of spring rolls in those days. And it shows. Don't make that mistake, kids. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. Again, three great locations to serve you. As always, University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay. I'm not breaking down this game play-by-play. I'm just not going to do it. And I'll be honest with you. I had a friend of mine called this morning, the illustrious Hind Dog, and he goes, you know, man, Rose Bowl, I'm going to tell you, I feel worse today than I have at any point this season. And I agree. I do too. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, when we lost to Tennessee, it kind of felt like we were almost kind of punching out of our depth a little bit, right? That we were playing well, maybe even playing a little bit above our heads. And yes, we should have won the football game. But we were able to kind of reconcile that a little bit, right? It's like, well, you know, we beat Arizona State. We're proving we can play with anybody. We had the ball under 2 minutes to go with a chance to win it. We couldn't get it done. But we kind of told ourselves, you know what? We're making progress. And we are. I don't want to lose that, okay? Because sometimes the Monday morning hangover after a bitter loss on Saturday can kind of jade your commentary a little bit. But that's what we thought. And then, you know, we go to Florida, and we made a big mistake late that cost us the chance to win the game. I'm not going to sit here and promise you that Kyle Ferry makes a field goal, but I would have at least liked the opportunity to attempt said field goal. I got a lot of faith in Kyle Ferry. I think in those moments he thrives. I think he is dying to kick that walk-off game winner. And I would have liked for him to have had that opportunity. Now, Lebby didn't agree with me. Lebby felt like, you know what, we need 5-6 more yards, right? And I get that too. You want to, you know, lower the degree of difficulty as well as you can. We made a very bad decision, and it cost us the game. We'd be bowl eligible right now. And, of course, Florida not playing well. You know, played well Saturday, but they've already fired a coach. Then there's a Texas game, right? And we felt like they were somewhat vulnerable coming in, and they were. And we're up 17 points in the fourth quarter, and we can't close the deal. And again, I said this on Bo Bounds' show too, I think what we're seeing here, you know, Jeff Lebby, I'm still a supporter. Are there some things we can be critical of? You better believe it. But I think in that thing, you manage it a little bit differently, right? I mean, the clock is your friend. I'm up 17 points. The clock is my friend. I'm going to spend as much time with that play clock as I possibly can. Now, the offensive coordinator in Jeff Lebby, and there's still that aspect, right? Those guys are always go, 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 right? You're looking for the kill shot. And, you know, could you imagine how much fun it would have been the final 10 minutes of that game at Davis-Wade Stadium if you're up 24 points against Texas, right? Defense can tee off. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I get that aspect of it. You'd like the kill shot. And I don't like to play not to lose. But discretion's a better part of valor. When you got a 17-point lead, you got to get them home. You got to get them home. You do. And that's coaching. Now, the players will tell you we got to execute better. That's true. But you know, sometimes, as a coach, you have to almost have to manipulate this thing like you would if you were playing a video game. All right, here's what we're going to do. Blake, we're going to wind this thing down. We're going to snap it with 2 seconds to go on the play clock. This is your first read. If it's not there, I want you to do this. But most above all things, I want you to move the sticks and keep the chains moving. I don't want you thinking about a touchdown. I want you thinking about a first down. We're going to use this clock to our advantage because desperation leads to mistakes by your opponent. And the more that clock ticks away, the more desperate they're going to become. And we mismanaged it. We did. All that's been documented. Georgia comes in here. We feel like maybe we can play with them. We find out pretty quick we can't, but that's easier to reconcile. You see, you know what? Georgia's one of the best teams in the country. They're a top five recruiter, perennial team that's always in contention for four and five star type players. And then we go to Missouri. Now, I hoped to be competitive against Georgia. Hoped to. I expected to win this game. Fully expected to win this game. And it's some of the things you do when you're driving home in between truck stops and trail mix and coffee is you do a little self-examination. And I've kind of began to ask myself, you know, am I unfairly judging this group of Bulldogs? I don't think I am, but I am open to that possibility. Maybe my expectations are not based in reality. Maybe. It's difficult for me to kind of reconcile that within myself because I believe we should have won the football game. And one of the things that really frustrates me about this particular game is that they're not more talented than us. They're pretty much on par. They're one of our contemporaries. You lose to Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, you can say, you know what, those guys have more talent than us. I'm not one that looks for ways to excuse defeat. But that's the reality of that. I can say Georgia is a better football team than Mississippi State. I don't even need to play the game to know that. I've watched it enough to know that. The same could be said for Texas. Now, everybody's got some flaws, and everybody has some injuries that pop up, and injuries are part of the game. There are things that happen over the course of a season. That's part of the game, because having quality depth is part of being a great football program. And if you don't have it, you're not a great football program. That's just how life works. He said, well, we'd have won if so-and-so wouldn't have been injured. It doesn't matter. It's still your responsibility to win. That's one of the things that I appreciated about Mike Leach. He didn't want to talk about injuries. And I asked him privately. I said, Coach, what's your deal with the injury thing? You know, what's the deal with this? Why do you want to talk about that? He goes, man, I feel like coaches are just making excuses. To get up here on a Monday press conference and talk about how beat up they are and they're missing that guy, they're laying the groundwork to say, you know what, that's why we lost. He goes, it's my job to go put a winner on the field regardless of who's available and who's not. That's my job. And that's correct. It's every head coach's job to find a way to win, period. I'm certainly not going to accept defeat on Monday. We're playing a game on Saturday. And if that's a defeatist attitude that persists in any athletic program at Mississippi State, cut that cancer out immediately. I don't care who you are. I don't care if it goes all the way to Lee Hall. If we have people up there that are ready to admit defeat on a Monday before we play a game on Saturday, then they don't need to be involved in the Mississippi State experience. That's my personal opinion. You may disagree. I'm not some poor old state mentality person that feels like we can't do great things. We can. And when we go to Missouri and we play a very one-dimensional offense, with a quarterback that is incapable of beating you at this point in his career. Right? Let's just kind of call it for what it is. He hadn't been good. Now, we gave him a chance to throw the fade on a hard count, and they beat us on the play. But if we play disciplined football, it's a different scenario. But what I don't understand, and what I'm not willing to accept, is that we knew that they were going to be run heavy. We knew it. And we could not formulate a plan in basically in 2 weeks to prepare, right? I mean, we've known. I mean, it's not like they put new things on tape last week because they were off. So we've known exactly, excuse me, put A&M. I'm getting out of sorts here. But you've had 2.5 weeks of that film of that kid, Zollers, to prepare and say, you know what, we got to change some things up here. I'm going to dare that kid to beat us. I'm going to dare him to throw the football. And the fade is obviously the easiest pass to throw. Doesn't require quite as much precision or timing, you know, because there's an adjustment by the receiver. You throw it up and you let the guy go make a play for you. But despite the fact that we knew Ahmad Hari was going to be great, we knew the backup was very capable, we allowed that kid to run for 300 yards. Now, he had something to do with it, right? It didn't like we just laid down. But that's the concerning thing for me, is when you know what they're going to do and they do not have markedly better talent than you and they are still able to do that, that's a concern. Like if you and I go out there and play a pickup basketball game, right? I'd need to get on the treadmill before we did it. But in the event that's the case, if we went out there and played pickup basketball game, and I knew that you couldn't go left, and I let you beat me to the right over and over and over again, number one, kudos to you for playing to your strengths. But you know what a shame there is on me that I couldn't deny you that. I should have made you uncomfortable, right? I should have forced you to go left. And that's how I feel about this. I don't care if you got to go up there in a goal line stand. You've got to force the quarterback to beat you. I can't just sit back and let Ahmad Hari go right over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You just can't. And we did. And that's got to change. And I want to take you back maybe on a journey, right? Let's go back and let's talk about this Arizona State game. Do you guys remember that? We won the game, right? And sometimes we forget. My honest opinion is, in some respects, in the minds of perhaps astute college football coaches that play against us, I think in some respects we got exposed way back in the second half of week two. And some of the teams that we have played, and maybe this is too.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
To our credit a little bit too, some of the teams that we've played have not been talented enough to exploit what is perceived as a weakness. Right? Do you remember this? I'm going to go back here, okay? You remember at the half, you know, we're up 17-3. Should have been 17-0, but we're 17-3. We had a bad punt. We had that bad penalty called against us. Should have been 17-0. We get outscored in the second half 17-7. And you recall the 7 came on the long pass play to Brennan Thompson that ultimately wins the football game. But let's go back here. The very first drive of the second half, which allowed there in the middle 8 for them to go 2-for-1 and get 10 points. So, guys, we open up here and you look at this first drive of the second half, and they absolutely just ran the football down our throats. 8 plays, 75 yards, not a single pass on the drive. Do you remember that? So now all of a sudden they've made it a game again. Then all of a sudden, you know, we get a win here on their second possession of the third quarter. We get a win on first down, and then they have to on second down kind of be a little more aggressive. And we're able to get off the field. And then they close the third quarter with kind of a, you know, mix, you know, but it's mainly running the football. So when they had to get back in the ball game, and granted, to their credit, I mean, hey, they're a pretty good running team. At least they were at the time. And this is even when they had, they were missing a running back. But I think in many respects that we were somewhat exposed in the second half against Arizona State. And then we made some adjustments, right? But let's kind of work through this a little bit, okay? Together, as friends and family, as we can. We didn't really play anybody for a while that could run the football. And let's go back and kind of look at this together. Again, because we love one another. We do. We do. You know, people, players and all them come and go, but you and I, we do love each other. We're here for the duration. But you go back and look at that Arizona State game. They ran for 251 yards. And then you play Alcorn. They're not going to be able to run on us in a year, right? I mean, the talent differential is just too much for them to overcome. They ran 27 times for 68 carries. And then there's Northern Illinois. And we talked about that extensively, about how pedestrian they were on offense. They had one pretty good running back, but we knew that possessions are going to be limited for them. They were going to have trouble throwing the football. They run for 125. And then we play Tennessee. And Tennessee's not what they were last year, right? They're not. And they got us through the air, if you recall. 335 yards passing. They ran for 131. And if you go back and kind of look historically, you know, Josh Heupel runs just enough to keep you honest, but he's in many respects kind of like Jeff Levitt. They want to throw the football around. They want the chunk play. Then we play Texas A&M. Texas A&M, one of the best teams in the country. They run for 299 yards against us. Then you play Florida. And, you know, hey, Ball's a great back. They get a 172, but you remember in that game late, we were able to make some adjustments and make some plays. So give our staff some credit there. Again, one of the better backs in the country, and we actually take a step in the right direction. Then we play Texas. And this, I think, is one of those kind of anomalies. We played well early, but because we got a lot of separation in this game, they had to abandon the run. Now, they ran 32 carries. You know, A&M ran for 54, just so you know. But 32 for 72. Give our staff some credit. However, the game itself kind of dictated them being a little more pass reliant. So I think that's one of those things that we just kind of glazed over a little bit because we look at, you know, we should have won this game. Arkansas runs for 239. Georgia runs for 303. Missouri runs for 326. And so I'm going to do the math while we're here together because, again, we're family. We love each other. We do. But 239 plus 303 plus 326 is 868 yards over the course of the last three games. Now, Texas didn't show anything in their game against us. And in many respects, I don't know if Florida did either. A&M has run on everybody. But I think when you go back, teams that have the ability to move the line of scrimmage and teams that have a dynamic back have given us trouble. And again, I'm not gonna walk away from, you know, what we did against Florida and Texas. And granted, Florida is not having a great year. Texas is just pretty good. So I do want to give us some credit in that respect. But what's happened over the course of the last three games, and I kind of understood a little of that against Arkansas and Georgia, because you have the running quarterback. So it makes sense to play a lot of zone coverage because you've got more eyes on the backfield. Right? If you're playing man coverage, you got guys running back there, you're chasing the fade, chasing the post. You got your back to the line of scrimmage. When you got the running quarterback, it's just like I think about, you know, what Josh did, Josh Morgan, when they played Clinton and Cam Akers. Like, you guys know how great Cam Akers was, right? And it's like, you know what? We're just going to play zone coverage because that way we got more eyes on the football. We're not going to let Cam beat us as a runner because, you know, they'd go four wide and send everybody down the field. The Cam makes a guy miss, and it's 20 yards before he gets any traffic. So it was great by Coach Morgan, who we love, And so I think against Arkansas and Georgia, we kind of wanted to employ that same philosophy. It's like, we're not going to let the quarterback run beat us in this game. And I think against Arkansas, late that mattered. And, you know, early in that ball game, you know, we're dropping a lot. We're kind of mimicking what Auburn did and had some success with. So it shows that we're watching tape. And how many times did Taylor and Green just have to tuck it and go? Because he was scared to let the pass go. And then later in the game, they made some plays. And Taylor and Green kind of kept him in it for a while. But ultimately, State wins that ball game. Against Georgia, kind of a similar thing. You knew Gunnar Stockton was a part of the running game. There were going to be design runs for Gunnar Stockton. It wasn't just going to be a scenario where he just kind of takes off when nothing's open. He'll do that too, but it's 11 versus 11 when you play Georgia because you have to account for the quarterback run. Against Missouri, we didn't have to account for the quarterback run. And that's what makes this so incredibly disappointing. Is you have a chance to kind of get back to what you do well. You know, you don't have to account for the quarterback run. And you still can't get the stops. That is so incredibly frustrating to me. And again, the thing that I go back, it's not just coaching, okay? Because everybody's chance, you know, everybody's answer to everything is fire the coach. Fire this person. You know, I get it. But that's not always the answer. Just so you guys know, Matt Zoller's had two rushing attempts for a loss of 22. He's now lost 32 yards on the season. And, of course, you know, that came from State's pass rush. But you didn't have to even consider the possibility that they're going to run Matt Zoller's. Zero chance of them running designed quarterback runs with a third-team freshman quarterback. Period. It's not going to happen. Now, when you got two games left to play, it'd be one thing if it's senior day and you're trying to get bowl eligible. It would make sense because there's no tomorrow. But when you're still trying to play your way in and you know, play into a nicer bowl game, you got two more games you got to navigate. If this guy gets hurt, you're playing a walk-on. And that's what really chaps my hide about this. And Nick Mitchell said in post-game, you know, we're still having some problems doing some simple things. It's game 11, okay? And if we have problems with guys fitting gaps at week 11, guys not understanding their rush lanes or their assignments, then, you know, that's on coaching. It's on them too. It's on the players as well as the coaches. But to hear that in postgame is very disappointing. One of the first things that you learn in football is how to run the football and how to defend the run. There's not a lot of fanciness with all that stuff. It's about want to. It's about physicality. It's about discipline on both sides of the line. So it's not like you're seeing something that you're unfamiliar with. And listen, Hardy's a freak. I'm not going to sit here and discredit him in any way. And the jump cut from him is ridiculous. And I really thought that Jamal Roberts was pretty good in that respect too. They do a good job of jumping to the next hole. They do a good job cutting back. Very, very polished and well-coached running backs. And we didn't tackle well. And that's something the last couple weeks has kind of been our undoing. And now listen, I get it. Everybody's a little bit banged up this time of year. But, you know, so were the teams that were playing. And those are the things that I look back and I begin to think about. It's like, you know, this is where I think if you're Jeff Lebby, is the CEO of Mississippi State football, you've got to consider that aspect of it. You know, why are we wearing down faster than our opponents? The Georgia thing I get, the Missouri thing I don't. And, you know, to kind of briefly go back to, you know, some of the stuff, you know, we came out that first quarter. I thought we looked totally unprepared to play. Totally unprepared. First drive for us loses 3 yards. And, you know, I know we want the football first. I know we do. I know we do. And that's offensive-minded coaching. But in this situation here, when you have an opponent that's got a young quarterback, I'm going to give him the full length of the field. I'm going to make him drive the full length of the field. I'm going to try to get him pinned back deep if I can. I'm going to try to. I'm going to put him on offense first. And lo and behold – we don't do that, and next thing you know, we're down 7-0. We look totally unprepared. You know, it's like, and maybe you guys have kind of washed this away from your memory, the very first carry of the day for Ahmad Hari went for 34 yards off the right side. Basically just running off right tackle, 34 yards. Very similar to the touchdown run against Arkansas that Arkansas had against us. But then we make a couple plays, and, you know, we jump off sides, and they throw the fade, and they beat us. We get the field goal, we're back in it, and then again, you know, it's just, they get a four-play, 75-yard drive. Kevin Coleman involved in some of that. You know, Hardy gets a 22-yard carry, and then you lay it up there to Josh Manning. And again, it was incredible to me to give credit to Mississippi State that despite the fact that we were kind of getting bludgeoned on both sides of the line in the first quarter, we kept fighting. That's true. We kept fighting. That's one thing that I will say is a tenet of the Jeff Lebby experience. Those kids play hard for him. Those young men go out there and do play hard for him. I thought later in this ball game we should a little bit of give up, shall we say. But we come out here and make some plays. And next thing you know, guys, it's 14-10. And you're like, man, as bad as we played in this first quarter, as bad as we played, here we are right in the game. And then what do, right? We get a win on first down. We get Jamal Roberts for a 3-yard loss. So it's 2nd and 13. So now all of a sudden you got to make some plays with your quarterback, right? Even though they've gashed us a couple times, you got to get a win on first down. We do, and Zollers is picked off. We get the ball around midfield. And we have a chance now to take the lead on the road despite all the bad things that have happened to us. We have a chance to take the lead on the road in the SEC. And what do? We drive right down the field. Everything is lovely. I mean, you're thinking, yeah, this is great. It's, guys, it's 1st and goal from the 5-yard line. 1st and goal from the 5. And we run shape and right, 3-yard loss. And they charge him with targeting. And it was the correct call. So now we got it 1st and goal at the 4. Up the middle for a 1-yard loss. 2nd and 5, we bring Camario in. He gets his 2, and on 3rd and 3, he's hit for a loss. However, face mask. Now it's 1st and goal at the 2. Camario, left side, loses 2. Then there's a delay of the game. Inexcusable. Lebby loses it. It's 2nd and 9. Shaping off the left side for 2. Of course, this is when we're going back to old school offense, just QB power. And we try to get it to say, did they break it up? And then we're going to just take a field goal here. We're just going to take a field goal. And then we can't execute it. Something as simple as that. We can't execute that. That's a problem. Because, you know, here's the thing. If you make that field goal, it's 14-13. All of a sudden, everybody kind of draws up a little bit. And while you'd like to have the lead, you're still in it. It's like, man, we've overcome so much. On the sidelines, you're walking up down there, boys. Hey, we've weathered the storm. Here we go. But instead, we can't execute the snap on a chip shot field goal. And it's returned to our 23-yard line. Now it's 21-10 after they score. And let's be honest about it. It really felt like the game was over. I don't know how you guys felt. That's how I felt. And, of course, they get the ball coming out of the half. We need some things to happen. We're able to force a fumble here. And we get the ball back and a chance to climb back in it. And we do. Shaping on the touchdown run, 21-17. So, again, we've overcome so much. And again, you think, you know what? Hey, we had this. You know, we guys, we should be winning this game. That's what you're saying on the sideline. We should be ahead. And despite the fact that we had that incredible first and goal situation, and it felt like the referees were bailing us out. But to be fair, you know, Missouri was committing penalties. But you get their leading tackler out of the game, and you still can't run the football. That's a problem. So it's 21-17, and then we get the stop. Defense does a great job here, and you know it's one of those big things too. You got to get plays, and you get the win on first down here because of a penalty. So they're behind the sticks. They end up converting, but then there's the big sack. But Calvin Dinkins is credited with the sack because it's intentional grounding. It wasn't even close. And that's what young quarterbacks do when they're under fire. So we get the ball back with a chance to take the lead. What do? Three plays, negative 9 yards. It's crazy, man. Nothing on first down, and all of a sudden it's second and 10, and then we're incomplete, and it's third and 10 and shaping a sack for a loss of 9. And from there, the game was pretty much over. Because they had the 72-yard run from Hardy to make it 28-17, and then we have the pick that like bounces off Anthony Evans' hands, is scooped up by the air, returned for touchdown at 35-17. And again, credit to our kids, we didn't quit. You know, Camario comes in, leads us on a touchdown drive. Then we get a punt. But, you know, from there, it was just, you know, there's really no point in continuing to talk about this. But I commend our kids for playing hard. But we've got to be better defensively. And we've got to prepare our players better defensively. Again, anybody can hand off. Anybody can hand off. And when you go back and look at these numbers too, I mean, it turns my stomach. I don't know how it is for you guys. Guys, he was 8 of 15 for 112 yards and a pick. And we sacked him twice. And he threw 2 touchdowns. And one of those, of course, comes on the hard count. Guys, he didn't do anything. He did nothing to hurt us. They could have pulled a kid out of the stands and just hand the football off. Hey, you're going to hand it left, you're going to hand it right. Don't mess up a snap count. And that, to me, is the misery of this whole thing. Give Missouri some credit. Give him Hardy a lot of credit. I just don't understand how a team that can't beat you through the air beats you. And really not just beats you, but kind of embarrasses you. And, of course, you know, a couple of those touchdowns come by way of pick six. We lose this game by 22 points. And there's no saying what would happen on the ensuing drive if you end up punting, right? But you give them 14. You take that away, it's 35. It's a one-possession game, right? And you go back again to us missing that field goal, you know, I mean, and not even handling that as well as we could. And so it looks worse maybe perhaps than it is, but I'm not going to look at our football through that lens and say, well, this play goes, you know, those plays matter. They matter. Mississippi State has to make those plays, period. We have to make those plays. I'm not going to adopt this whole thing. Well, you know, we won 2 games last year, Steve. We got 5. We're turning in the right direction. That's true, but I'm not going to concede anything at this point. We still got to play quality football. And I can promise you this, even though I picked us to go 5-7 at the beginning of the year, I'm not going to sit back here and say, okay, well, we've achieved our goal. The Egg Bowl doesn't matter. By gosh, it does. Chance for us to get bowl eligible, chance to kind of diminish their playoff resume. It looks like they should be in, barring some absolute craziness in these last couple weeks. But we got to do our part and forget the fact what they're doing. It's what we're doing and what we need to do. They just happen to be the next team. And there's a lot going on. There's a lot of noise in and around Oxford. That should be, you know, a distraction to them. It wasn't a real distraction to Florida, even though we kind of gave that game away. It was all this talk in the wind. We can't depend on that. Now, we need it, right? We need every advantage we can get. But no, nobody should say, well, I picked it right. We won 5-7. No, we got to go win this football game. You think about the trajectory of this program, getting to a bowl game in year 2 and hopefully winning said bowl game. Does really good things for you as you push into the portal season. More on all this later. All right, it's time for our Close with Blair player of the day. And I'm a firm believer in the old adage that the light at the end of the tunnel may be you. May be you. Yeah, so you're going to be our Close the Blair player of the day. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry, 25 years of experience. He's got his own Fairway mortgage operation now. The same level of service has followed him as always. Give him a call or text today at 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. Blair has been with us for many years now. He tells me that two of you are going to have the dream of home ownership come true for you in the month of December. That is so great, man, to be able to enjoy the holidays in a brand new home. Listen, maybe it's time for you to start thinking about that too. Yeah, maybe the dream of home ownership has eluded you before, but now Blair's making magic for other Mississippi State fans and really fans of all schools, right? He didn't discriminate. Hit him up at 601-500-2344. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo, which might be more affordable than you think, Blair has all the answers. Visit closewithblair.com today. All right, now time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by Kalido Guitars, C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. I have done business with them on multiple occasions. I got a guitar stand. I got a gig bag. I got a Steve Vai signature original that I cherish. It may leave here with me, just so you guys know. I love it. I love it that much. But Kalido Guitars could be your one-stop shop for all your stringed instrument needs. They don't just do guitars, but they do specialize in them. They're guitar players, too. They're not just people out there just going and grabbing a box and putting it out there on a UPS truck and sending it to your house. They're setting this guitar up the way you want. If you've got specific needs, you can call them. They'll answer the phone. They'll take care of you. We've had some listeners that have done that. Kalido Guitar is going to give you some great incentive to do business with them. Use promo code BSR. That gets you a 10% discount. Yeah, already off your low prices. It gives you the Ken folks, right? The Boneyard discount with BSR. Gets you 10% discount. Gets no shipping cost. And how great is that this time of year, right? No sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas, and they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund based on your purchase price. So the more you spend, the better instruments you're going to get, but the more Mississippi State's going to benefit. Yeah, you can use that promo code in person, online, or over the phone. They just want to do business with you. These are Mississippi State people. They have family here in Starkville, and again, they're guitar players. And how many times in the past you order something and it's not exactly the way you want it? You don't have to worry about that with them. They're going to give you great service before, during, and after the sale. Be sure and check them out today. KalidoGuitars.com. C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars.com. All right, every so often we look forward to what's going on in music, what's happening, what the future looks like. I do a lot of classic rock on this show, but I do like the modern rock. I just like rock, okay? I just like to rock, and perhaps you do too. So I pulled out this last week's Biggins Countdown of Sirius XM Octane. I'm going to give you my 10 favorite songs from that list. Not in their order, but in my order, even though we have a couple that are similar. One exactly the same. So we talked about the Pretty Reckless here with Taylor Momsen lately. And she, of course, was part of our Bad Company tribute album, Top 10. And I think you're going to enjoy her. She has this very raspy, authoritative rock voice. You know, there's a lot of people that are operatic. She's just, man, gritty, and I love her. But it's For I Am Death from the Pretty Reckless at number 10. Number 9, a band that's kind of like the rest of the scene, kind of where things are going, with kind of this, I hate to say it, but it's kind of like the auto-tune, kind of mechanical, computerized type rock. But I dig this track. It's a band called Windwalkers, and we're going to go with Hereditary. That's your number 9 track. Number 8, a band that we love. They're talking about taking a little bit of a hiatus just because, the mental health aspect of it. There's a lot of time on the road. But I got a friend that's closely affiliated with this band. It says there's nothing to worry about, but it's From Ashes to New, and it's the new track, New Disease. Been out a little while. Think you'll have some fun with that one. If you like From Ashes to New, it's going to be right where you want it to be. All right, number seven. This is a band that I like some of their stuff, and some of it I'm just kind of unaffected by, right? I mean, there's just some bands that I can put on, and I can listen to everything. There's some other bands where I kind of skip around a little bit, and Hollywood Undead is one of those. Like, I love The City of the Dead. Oh, I love it, man. Oh, I love that track. The new one that's out now is called Savior, and it's a little different for them. It's a little more melodic, I guess you could say, if that's possible for them. But that's your number seven track today. Number six, we featured them last week on a top 10 list. It's Dayseeker, and of course, it's one of their newest singles, Pale Moonlight. That's your number six track today. Number five, man, I love this track. I do. Now, the singer almost has kind of a top 40 quality voice, and I think it kind of works on this one, right? There's some guys you feel like they're like rocking out of convenience. I think this guy's a real rocker. He's just got a cleaner voice. Maybe he's taking better care of himself. I don't know. But it's a band called The Funeral Portrait. And the great track is Dark Thoughts. The chorus on that, well, it's not one of those things that makes you think that it's a darker song. Very uplifting chorus in some respects. Lyrical commentary is a little different. But the composition of this song is very interesting. I think you're going to have some fun with it. Number four. They made headlines when they announced that Adam Gautier was working on new music. We're talking 3 Days Grace. They still got Matt around. And so they've kind of done some dual vocalist type stuff. And I think it really comes off well on the new track, Kill Me Fast. A lot of kill and death and funeral on this list this week. But 3 Days Grace, Kill Me Fast, your number four track. Number three, I like this one a lot. Number one is because our friends Sleep Theory, who inspired the title to the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls, based out of Memphis. Man, we got into those guys before they were even signed, and it seems like every time I turn around, they're on a major tour, or they're doing a collaboration with some other up-and-coming band. That's the case here. Number three is Never Tell and Sleep Theory's Break the Silence. And I love the sound of Sleep Theory. I do. That's one of those bands I can just put the album on and hit track one and then let it roll. Number two, the title of this track is going to sound maybe a little more macabre than it truly is. Another band that we met at Rocklahoma a few years back, thanks Mark. It's the band I Prevail, and we've featured them on this show many times. The track is called Into Hell, but it's basically like a love song. It's a rocking song, but it's like, I would follow you into hell, you know. And I don't know that anybody's worth that. But all of that understood, I think this is a song that, again, just kind of shows that I Prevail is going to have some staying power. You know, they had the problem, and this is where record companies get involved. And so, like, the first big song they had is they covered Taylor Swift's Blank Space. And so people got this, I don't know, this false narrative. People were like, well, these guys are not for real. They're not. What are they doing? Well, you do what record companies tell you when you're trying to make it. They probably never do that now. And so they came out the next album, showed a much harder version of themselves. And I think you're going to dig these guys. If you don't know them, you should. Dan and I had a chance to meet them. They were super cool. Super cool. But Into Hell is the one of the hottest tracks right now on modern rock radio. But number one. And it's pretty much been number one on Biggin's since its release. I think it's a spectacular song. I think it's phenomenal, in the words of Ben Howland. It's Bad Omens' Spectre. Now, I've shared with this you guys before. One of the things that I love about music is because of how it makes me feel, right? That's me, right? I there are some songs that take me places that I haven't been in a while. You know, we talk about music being a time machine, and there are just some songs that kind of stir up some creative interest in me. This is one of them, and it's a song that doesn't necessarily fit my personal life. However, I can be very empathetic when I listen to this song, and a lot of it is because it reminds me so much of the Still Suffering Addict. There are so many people out there. I have not forgotten from whence I've come. And there are people out there that are more than happy to remind me. Not that I care about what they think. I'm not running for office. We don't care about any opinion polls. That's for political people. But from the very first time I heard this song, and I've actually kind of learned to play this on piano, not great, but I have. But I just wanted to kind of dissect the song a little bit more, because it stirs up this emotion in me, because I have been that character in this song. You know, you get to that chorus, right? And it's, do you feel love? I know I don't, right? And it's a very dark song, and I think it's important for us to be able to explore those recesses of the human experience. And how many times in your life have you not felt love? And some people are incapable of both giving and receiving love. And that was one of those things that I've struggled with in the beginning too, being able to accept love. And the part that always gets to me, though, it's not just that. That part kind of disturbs me in some ways. But it also reminds me of a person that I used to be. But the part that really always gets to me, it almost nearly brings a tear to my eye every time I put this song on, is the part when he says, something you're missing made you who you are. But I've kept my distance, it just made it worse, right? And that's one of those things that I think about, I'm not necessarily talking about failed relationships, but, you know, when you try to genuinely help somebody, you know, when you give of yourself to try to help people, you know, that are dealing with, you know, chemical dependency or alcoholism or depression or suicidal thoughts, and there are some people that just are not ready to receive what you have to say. And that's kind of where this song takes me. It takes me to that very, very sad place when somebody is not ready to be helped. And then there are other people out there that never experience love the way that you and I do. There are some people that they go through this and never truly have any of that. I won't share the name, but someone very close to me years ago before they passed told me, I've never known love. And I've never known love the way that you've experienced it. So I see the way that you and, you know, Dana operate, kind of move around, the understanding you guys have. And let me just sit here and tell you, it's not always been perfect by any stretch. But I know that I'm with who I'm supposed to be with. And this person who loves us both said, I've never had that. I've never had someone that I truly believe was my biggest fan. I've had people that have loved me as well as they could, but I've never had that connection with somebody where it just kind of felt almost cosmic of sorts. Like it's beyond social convention. I've never met anybody that couldn't live without me. That's a tough pill to swallow. You know what I'm saying? And so that's where that song kind of takes me. It takes me back to that moment where somebody that I loved kind of confessed some of the darkest pain in their lives, that they've never truly felt loved. And so I share that with you because I hope that you are not cut from that same cloth. And a lot of it too, and I think about my own recovery in that respect, in the beginning, I had such walls up, right? I didn't want anybody to get close to me, and mainly because I was scared of getting hurt. But I have seen some things that I will never unsee. And I have felt some things that have left a bit of a scar. You know, and every so often, you kind of run your finger over it, right? To remind you that at one point you were alive and that you've overcome something. But I was probably very difficult to love. And that's me being honest with you guys, because I didn't always reciprocate the way that I should. And that's a difficult aspect, right? But she loved me through all that. You know, so she could see something in me that said, you know what, one day he is going to spread his wings and fly, and I want to be a part of that. And that's very humbling. It makes me very grateful. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like she just saved me. You know, we saved each other. you know, she had some issues too. And I think between the two of us, you know, we've kind of found a way to deal with our imperfections and in some ways see them as beautiful, right? You know, when I met her, you know, Dana was broken in many respects. And she was on the come up, right? You know, she was beginning to heal herself, but you know, the as you learn the pathology of somebody you love's, you know, former romantic life, you begin to kind of realize, you learn, right? You're like, oh, well, of course, it's all one-sided, right? But you learn. You know, the deals that people make with themselves to feel attractive or to feel love. And it's amazing what we're willing to trade for that. I mean, it truly is. And I would submit to you that nearly everything that we do is in hopes of receiving love, for somebody to accept us for who we are and where we are and as we are. And that maybe perhaps they see some potential in us that we don't see in ourselves. Right? I would say 90% of the things that we do is in some respect to appear attractive to other people. Not so much for ourselves, but for others. No matter what people tell you, oh, I'm doing this for me. No, you're not. You're doing it for approval the majority of the time. And that's what we all want, is for somebody to validate our existence. Whether we're in a good place or not, we want people to validate our pain or validate our progress. We want somebody to recognize where we are and where we're going, and maybe perhaps they can help us get there. And I see all these people, there's so many people out there that are just so dishonest with themselves. And that's the most, the biggest lies we tell are the ones we tell ourselves. It's like, well, I don't want to marry somebody for this reason. You know, I want them, you know, just, you know. The number one reason that anybody should marry is for love and to be loved and to give love. It is a two-way street. There are a lot of consumers out there. There are a lot of tourists that will come in and out of your life. But when you meet your soulmate, even if things don't always have a storybook ending, it changes you as a person because there is an equality of sorts within the relationship. And my hope and sincere prayer to you today is if you don't have that, then at some point you will. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because they have the things we want. We can't get enough Mississippi State gear. Mom, don't overthink it. Don't. I mean, I know you want to get like the cute gift that like sends everybody over the top. The safest bet, the most reliable bet, is to get everybody more Mississippi State gear. Whether it's apparel or gift ideas or things you need to, you know, detailing out, you know, your fan cave, you know. So, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. But the reality of the deal is we're not hard to please, despite what people may think. We love Mississippi State. We want to celebrate Mississippi State. And we can do that with that new quarter zip, perhaps some new polos. You can't go wrong by doing right. And you do right by shopping at Campus Bookmart. Visit them next time you're in Starkville or check them out on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. Use promo code BSR. You know it well. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's take a look at some things. The weekend that was, we watched the end of this at Shakespeare's Pizza. But guys, it's 30-3 at the break if you're South Carolina. Right now you're officially eliminated from bowl contention. And you start working through all this and you start thinking, you know, where are we going to fill the spots? Well, it's going to be tough. But Texas A&M has shown a will to win. Man, they came out in that third quarter and they looked absolutely possessed. And that's good coaching, man. How many teams in the Southeastern Conference would be down four scores at the break and even think about winning, much less pull it off? They outscore Carolina 28-0 in the second half. And that last possession from South Carolina was like something that one of us would have called. I mean, it was ridiculous. And then Lenore Sellers doesn't even give his receiver a chance on the last play. Craziness, man. The buzz you heard is Mississippi State's new baseball commitment. The interview is done. We are working up a graphic, so that'll be announced here shortly. We'll let him have his moment, but we had to pause the show just a little bit to get that done. Back to our recap here. We mentioned the South Carolina choke job. Oklahoma, huge win for the Sooners, man. They go into Tuscaloosa and win that game 23-21. And you know as well as I do, remember last year Jackson Arnold had that huge game for Oklahoma to beat Alabama, just absolutely wore them out. So Alabama's had all year to think about that and prepare. And Oklahoma gets it done with the late field goal in the fourth quarter to win 23-21. There was a lot of talk earlier this year, I'm not going to lie. I said, Oklahoma may make the playoffs. And I was like, no, not a chance. Not a chance. Well, there's a chance. And that's why we play the games, right? And this Oklahoma defense obviously has been really good. Ole Miss got the better of them, obviously. That was a big, kind of a big surprise. Give Lane Kiffin and the Rebels a lot of credit. They put up 34 points. But Oklahoma's two losses are to Texas and to Ole Miss, two teams that are ranked very high in the FBS rankings. So Oklahoma gets Missouri and LSU. Missouri's in Norman. LSU's in Norman. So Oklahoma, in some respects, kind of controls their own destiny with two games to play. They could be 10-2 and 6-2 in the SEC and not have to go to the SEC title game so that they can build their resume right there in Norman. Texas and Georgia. This didn't prove to be the game that people expected to be. Georgia in the fourth quarter just absolutely destroys Texas. As I have said many times on this show, I don't know if anybody is better at halftime adjustments in college football than Kirby Smart and his staff. It was 14-3 Georgia at the break. Arch Manning and the Longhorns pull to within a score in the third. It's 14-10, and then it's all Georgia the rest of the way. All Georgia in a 35-10 game. Texas now three losses on the year and likely out of the FBS playoff. We'll see what happens when they play A&M. You know, we'll see. Maybe you can climb back in late. They'll need some help. It's tough to think a three-loss team could make it, but maybe the right one could. They'll get Texas. They'll get Arkansas at home this week, and then A&M to close it out on the 28th. So, again, Texas in a good position in that respect, but they need some help. Florida drops to 3-7. Give them credit. They made a game of it, and it really felt like at halftime that Florida may pull this thing off. It's 24-20, and it felt like the Gators were there. And then give Ole Miss credit. They outscore them 14-0. And there were a lot of fourth downs in this game for both teams. Ole Miss gets stopped. Florida gets stopped. And then the Rebels win at 34-24. They put it away late. Florida had a chance to win. Couldn't get it done. The Rebels are 10-1 now with an open date. And, you know, Florida, of course, 3-7, just kind of playing out the string, officially eliminated from bowl contention. Lacy, the running back from Ole Miss, big game for him. 31 carries, 224 yards. We'll see a healthy dose of him come battle for the Golden Egg. Tennessee does not cover but does win. They take care of New Mexico State 42-9. And it appeared like they may be able to cover, maybe. And then the fourth quarter, they just kind of took their foot off the gas, and the Aggies score kind of a garbage touchdown late. But Tennessee wins 42-9. Tennessee, also a three-loss team, and you got to feel like they're on the outside looking in. It took a late touchdown from LSU, but they beat Arkansas. And give that LSU defense a lot of credit, too. You know, we talked about them earlier in the year, that they could be a team that could be somewhat elite. Well, they get punched in the mouth right out of the gate. Arkansas out to a 14-0 lead after one. Tigers run the second quarter and lead 16-14. And then in the third quarter, Arkansas retakes the lead, and they actually get the two-point conversion, and it looks like they're in great position. Well, LSU and the magic of Tiger Stadium pull this thing out. Michael Van Buren credited with the win, 21 of 31 from the field, 221 yards and a touchdown. Xavion Thomas, 6 catches for 80 yards, former Bulldog there. But LSU 6-4 and now bowl eligible. And the Tigers are in a pretty good spot, as you guys are well aware, to make some things happen down the stretch and find a decent bowl game somewhere. We'll see how the playoff works out. But that's a big aspect of this, is it's going to be how many SEC teams make the playoffs and what does that do for the bowl picture, for the Access Six and all that kind of stuff, as I used to call it. All that stuff, there's always a new name and a new label for everything. But LSU assured of playing into the postseason. Frank Wilson, of course, vying to remain on that staff there. We'll see what happens. But it's interesting, though, kind of talking about Ole Miss, Florida, LSU all right here together, kind of in the same breath. Over the weekend, it was a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff about Lane Kiffin to Florida. Tons of it. Tons of chatter about that. And now there's a lot of chatter about LSU making a run. Now, there's a couple things I'll say about that. Number one, LSU gets Western Kentucky, so they're probably going to be no worse than 7-5, right? Probably no worse than 7-5 because they'll beat Western Kentucky, and we'll see what happens at Oklahoma. But I just get the sense that everybody involved with Florida, LSU, Auburn, it's not even about right now. Everybody would say, they'll say the right things on the record. It's about our student athletes and about salvaging something from this season. Everybody's focus is really on what's next. And then, if you're Ole Miss, and I know there's a lot of unrest on the Ole Miss side. I know that for a fact, right? I mean, we see it. There's some people out there saying that Ole Miss is trying to force Lane Kiffin to make a decision, and they're going to move on from him and not let him coach the Egg Bowl. Guys, they're not going to fire Lane Kiffin. Okay, it's not going to happen. All of that is just the emotional ramblings of fan base media. They're not going to fire him, because if they do, and again, it's like Ole Miss always wants to make it look like they're in charge. They're not. If they do, they got to write him a check and get nothing in return. They're not going to fire him. It'd be ridiculous to do that. Ridiculous. Now, some would say, the buyout's not that much. There's some truth in that, too. But in these days where third-party dollars are so precious, it makes no sense to do that. None whatsoever. We got to have a decision before the Egg Bowl or this week, whatever. It's just not going to go out that way. It's not going to happen that way. Now, I was told earlier today that last week it really did look like Lane Kiffin was going to Florida. But then, later in the week, in the weekend, it looked like they may be able to sustain that. Ole Miss may be able to retain him. I don't know if Kiffin decided Florida wasn't the right move for him, or perhaps Florida decided Kiffin wasn't the right move for them. I don't know. But now that LSU is in the mix, Lane Kiffin holds all the cards. And he has no incentive to make a decision right now. The longer he waits, the more money he's going to make, whether he gets it from Ole Miss, whether he gets it from LSU, or gets it from Florida. There's no reason. And it's an open date right now. And, of course, all these people are like, oh, keep your phones handy on Sunday. Guys, there's no way. And people believed it. People are like, oh, well, maybe they know something. They didn't know anything. They didn't know anything. They still don't know anything. They're not the people to be trusted. You're in the middle of pushing for the playoffs. You have the rivalry game coming up and a chance to kind of put things and remove all doubt. There's just no way that something was going to happen on Sunday. And I don't think anything's going to happen this week. Some things may leak, but I don't think there's going to be anything officially done. We need to expect to see Lane Kiffin and expect Lane Kiffin to try to come in here and put some punctuation on his final game against Mississippi State as an Ole Miss Rebel coach. Now, I get the Ole Miss people are really upset, and I understand that. Especially in your dream season, a year that you were expected to take a bit of a step back, then Lane Kiffin turns in perhaps the best coaching job of his career, and then you're faced with losing him. And let me just say this, too, Ole Miss fans listen to this show. most of you do, are probably a little more well-reasoned than others. Ole Miss is not the job that LSU in Florida is. I don't care what you tell yourself. It's not. And you're like, well, it's a new era. You're right. And they're even better equipped to handle that than you are. I give you credit. You've come a long way. Lane Kiffin's done a great job. And you're like, well, we'll go out and get the next hotshot coach. Let's just be honest about that. Lane Kiffin's success is largely responsible because of Lane Kiffin. Yes, your donors and everybody contributed to NIL, but at the end of the day, Lane Kiffin has propped Ole Miss up, not the other way around. And if you need a reminder of that, let me help you out with that. Right. Again, we want to talk about, you know, it's a new era. Yeah, it's a new era because Lane Kiffin made it a new era. I mean, let's just kind of run back real quickly here, just in case you've forgotten. I know you don't want to talk about it, but I do. It's rivalry bye week, I guess, whatever we'll do. We'll just do what we want to do. But, you know, just kind of working back through this. You know, Tommy Tuberville, you remember that? Remember Tommy? I'm going to have to leave here in a pine box. And then the next time we see Tommy Tuberville, he's got on an Auburn tie. Yeah, it's true. That's what happened. David Cutcliffe. Dave had, you know, the one good year with Eli in 2003. I mean, think about this. You had a potential Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback, a guy that won two Super Bowls. And it's 7-5, 7-4, 7-6, 10-3. Not even Eli Manning could prop up that program. You get the one big year, and you end up going to the Cotton Bowl and finishing ranked outside of the top 10. The next year, with Michael Spurlock, when you guys had convinced yourself he was your T. Martin, that it was just going to be just like it was at Tennessee. It wasn't. 4-7. Ed Orgeron ended up being a national championship coach, and not even he could prop up that Ole Miss program. 3-8, 4-8, 3-9. Houston Nutt, a guy that was a perennial contender for the SEC West Championship. Not even Houston Nutt could get it Ole Miss to Atlanta. Back-to-back Cotton Bowl wins, and then 4-8, 2-10. Yeah, it's true. And then Hugh Freeze comes in, who did a much better job when they were rules. Gets you guys turned around. You get the bowl game in 12, and it's 8-5. 9-4, 10-3, and everything seemed to be going great. Of course, all of that was ill-gotten gains. And then all of a sudden, under the NCAA microscope, 5-7. Then there's Matt Luke, a guy that loves Ole Miss with his entire heart, a guy that wore the uniform, and love just wasn't enough. Not even Matt Luke, not even a guy that loved Ole Miss with all his heart could prop that program up. Ineligible. Bowl ban. For 17 and 18. Of course, there were a lot of people in the fan base media who said, oh, it's not going to be a bowl ban. Not going to be a bowl ban. There was. And then the next thing you know, Lane Kiffin shows up. They go 4-5 in a regular season, win their bowl game to finish 5-5. So just to recap there, that's five straight non-winning seasons. Five straight. And then Kiffin gets it going. 10-3, 8-5, 11-2, 10-3. And of course, you know, in a great position right now. And so there's no ifs, ands, or buts in many respects. It's the glory days of Ole Miss football since Johnny Vaught left. But there have been some very talented people that have done a lot of great things somewhere else that really struggled to make something out of their Ole Miss experience. Yeah, I remember a time when Ole Miss was an Independence Bowl mainstay, and they were proud of that. And now all of a sudden, these people want to go back to what it once was, but that's the reality of it. It's true. Kentucky, no big trouble with Tennessee Tech. I thought Tech made me make a game of it for a half. They didn't. It was 28-7 at the break, and then ends 42-10. Kentucky now 5-5, and they went away from bowl eligibility. I don't know if we would have said that a month ago, but here we are. It's not going to be easy, but it's possible. And they're going to have to do it on the road. They got to go to Vanderbilt and to Louisville. Both of those top 20 teams in the current AP poll will be awfully interesting. going to Vanderbilt, it's proven to be a tougher task than people have encountered in recent years. Kind of a dog of a schedule this week around the league. There are a couple good games, but a lot of this, kind of wrangling late in the year to set up for rivalry games. 1-10 Samford will head to A&M. Let's go ahead and pencil A&M as your winner there. They'll be 11-0 when they play Texas. Missouri at Oklahoma, we talked about that one. That's going to be awfully interesting. I think Oklahoma defensively will have enough to slow down that running game. 1-9 Charlotte is at Georgia, which will make the Bulldogs 10-1 on the year. Then you got the Georgia Tech rivalry game, which could be interesting. Eastern Illinois at Alabama, you know how that one's going to go. 9-1 Mercer is at Auburn. And I throw that out there with the record just because of the fact I don't know how motivated Auburn is going to be able to play this game. They're going to be excited, obviously, to look forward to the Iron Bowl, Senior Day, all that good stuff. I think Auburn wins this game, but don't be surprised if it doesn't get a little tricky. Arkansas is at Texas. The Bobby Petrino train continues to roll down the tracks in the wrong direction. Texas 7-3. We'll see how motivated they are to play after getting their tails whipped last week. But again, Arkansas 2-8 and staring 2-10 right in the face. Dare we say it? Dare we say it? Is Petrino going to go winless at Texas and then at home against Missouri? You know, we'll see. Coastal Carolina is at South Carolina. Of course, South Carolina now eliminated from bowl contention. Coastal 6-4, playing for bowl positioning. Could be interesting. Tennessee is at Florida. That's probably your best game of the week. Maybe Kentucky-Vanderbilt. We'll see. Vanderbilt favored by 9.5 right now in that game. I like Vanderbilt. Tennessee and Florida. Tennessee favored in the swamp by 3.5. That should be the case. But again, Florida, give Billy Gonzalez. They got up and played for him last week. Western Kentucky is 8-2, and they're going to go down to LSU very upset-minded. The spread's 22.5, but don't be surprised if the Hilltoppers make a bit of a game with this. I don't think they can slow down the LSU offense, but we'll see. They're kind of banged up. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without any question, it's the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're bringing a large group to town, and you should, this is the place to stay. We've stayed there. It is fabulous, man. You got the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, plenty of living space, plenty of parking space, 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths. You've always dreamed of doing something like that. Like, wouldn't it be great to get everybody together under one roof so we have all that in-between time to kind of catch up and just love on each other? Well, this is your place. You've got that opportunity now. Take full advantage. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page pops up. You can see all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. And some booking options are going to pop up too. Airbnb, VRBO, you can go that route if you want. But if you want to save a few bucks, I can help you with that. Yeah, we can get you 10% off. That's a nice incentive this time of year. Use promo code BSR10. That's BSR, the number 10. Get you 10% off your stay. How about that? Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Learn more about it. You'd be glad you did. The premier place to stay. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can get your tailgating done right then and there. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Check it out today. All right, Mississippi State men's basketball. A bit more, maybe a bit of a tussle in the right phrasing. But let's just say it wasn't as impressive a win as we expected or perhaps what we needed. We got the dub. We're happy to have the win. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We'll always take a win. There's no such thing as an ugly win. People say that, but it's kind of true. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're just happy to win. Sometimes you win when you don't play your best. But this was one of those moments, you know? This was one of those moments where we did not play our best. And we're still figuring some things out. You know, Chris Jans still got to figure out who we can trust. He's got to figure out the rotation. And so, yeah, it's not time to panic about anything. 2-1 now in the season. You know, we had that tough game against Iowa State and really thought we would kind of bounce back and maybe take care of this winless Southeastern Louisiana team with a little more authority. And it looked like for a while we were going to be able to do that. We were up just five at the break, but in the second half, State kind of began to pull away. And you start thinking, okay, well, this is all we can just we don't have to worry about this. It's all going to be okay, you know. And then, you know, all of a sudden, things kind of began to get maybe we got a little bit antsy, you know. I mean, I don't know how you guys felt. We were kind of having to keep up with it on live stats as, you know, we're kind of getting ready to go, you know. And it just got a little bit maybe frustrating. I mean, I never felt like State was in any jeopardy, you know, but it's just you'd like to be able to finish games with a little more of a killer instinct. I mean, you look up here, you know, just under 9 minutes to go, State's up 14. It's like, yeah, we'll just kind of cruise to maybe a 25, 30-point victory. Sean Jones, you know, hit a big three to kind of push it back out to 15. But they make a late run. They do. You know, of course, you know, the lead is as much as 16 late. But we had to kind of fight this thing to the finish as they push it under 10 with about 2.5 minutes to go. And then the next thing you know, it's a six-point game with 2 minutes to go. And State finally kind of puts the brakes on things and puts this game away. But it's not an impressive win and not against an impressive foe either. And so is there room for concern? Yeah. Is it time to panic? No, it's not. I don't feel that. I've got a lot of trust in Chris Jans. I know you guys do too. But you'd like to win with some more style points. But how about Sean Jones kind of stepping up? 3 of 4 from beyond the arc. That's always nice to read. 17 points for him. Hub with 15. And if I told you before the game Hub's only going to have 15, you'd think game's going to be close. Well, it proved to be. Jaden Epps, again, it's not a Kanye Clary thing. Gets in, gets 10 points, and just 17 minutes of action too. Very excited about what he can be for us. But, hey, it's a dub. It is. We move forward. We're not going to sit here and pour mouth it. We're just happy to get it done. Grace King, obviously doing some good things for us in limited action. 8 points in 9 minutes. You know, we got to figure some things out. And we put a lot of players on the floor. But, again, it never felt like we were in jeopardy of losing this game. You'd like a little more game control against a team from the Southland Conference that hadn't won a game, though. It is what it is. And we can be happy with the win and still be somewhat critical in the performance. But got to head over to Kansas City, Missouri later this week. The Bulldogs will take on Kansas State. That's going to be a late tip. It's going to be on the Peacock Network. So you need to be thinking about how you're going to watch the game now, right? Because what's going to happen is everybody's going to be tweeting each other and say, hey, what's going on? Why isn't this on the ESPN Network? It's on Peacock. So be aware of that. Let everybody know ahead of time. This is where things are going to be. We'll do our best to keep you updated, but that's where it's going to be. We'll preview that game on the Wednesday show, and then we'll kind of see what happens from there. You know, again, we're going to have two games out there guaranteed, Kansas State, and then either Nebraska or New Mexico on Friday. So a lot to think about this week and a lot to kind of keep up with. The Mississippi State soccer team, their season ended, and I cannot say enough about, you know, what we think about Ellie Perry and the great career she had. And she had a chance to go pro last year, elected to come back, and you know, played in 4 NCAA tournaments. But yeah, we were disappointed with the loss. State upset 1-0 by Lipscomb. That's the second time in the first round that Lipscomb has come to Starkville, Mississippi, and won a 1-0 game on our pitch. So soccer is now over, and again, we expected to take a bit of a step back. We did, perhaps not the step back that many people expected. First-year coach Nick Zimmerman and his staff did a good job. Lost a lot of pieces and still found a way to host an NCAA tournament game in what was considered a rebuilding year. So first-year coach, familiar with our personnel, but, you know, I'd love to have gotten out of the first round. I don't think anything beyond that was realistic. I don't think we could have beat Florida State. But the Allie Perry and those fellow seniors have done such a great job making Mississippi State soccer matter. And that's important. We've gotten the announcement now. Denton Lord We had to wait until he approved the graphic we made for him. Denton Lord, the right-handed pitcher from Florida, was committed to Florida. And you can read all about this for free at jeanspage.com. It's on my socials. He's out of Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. Committed to Florida. A perfect 10. And get this. He's 6'8", 215 pounds. Just about to turn 18. Right-handed pitcher. Can absolutely rip. You guys that know a little bit about him understand this is a big deal. And guys, I've said this before. If Kevin O'Sullivan and Justin Parker want a pitcher, I want that pitcher. If Butch Thompson wants that pitcher, I want that pitcher. Those guys have proven to be incredible pitching evaluators and developers. And last year as a junior and into the summer, 97 miles an hour. And he's a strike thrower. That's the thing that's most important. Everybody talks about, well, with all this velo, the guy to throw strikes. Yeah, no duh, right? Well, he does. This is a huge, huge get for Mississippi State. Still listed right now in the ranking recruitings, because all this just broke in the last couple minutes, with perfect game to Florida. But this is going to be a nice little boost to Mississippi State's recruiting rankings, if you keep up with that sort of thing. But more importantly, then Lord is a guy that we expect to come in and be a weekend starter for Mississippi State. May take him a year. I don't know what his development path is going to look like. But the reality of it is, the State has picked up another quality arm, beat out some other quality schools to get him. And the train just keeps rolling. It's as simple as that. And we started talking about top 100 players and things like that. Florida was ahead of us in the recruiting rankings. I don't know if you know, we're 9 right now. So with this flip, you know, you got to kind of begin to wonder, well, what does that mean? You know, does State overtake Florida? But either way, we got a top 10 class, which is where we should live, even in interesting years like this one where there's not a lot of great SEC baseball talent within the state of Mississippi. The fact that State could still put together a top 10 class in a year where they didn't take a single home state player is awfully interesting. Denton Lord currently rated the fourth highest commitment in the Florida class. You know, so yeah, there'll be some impact in those rankings. And we'll just kind of see how things develop. But Bulldogs doing a nice job on the recruiting trail. You know, we picked up a baseball commitment for 2027 over the weekend. Maybe you guys kept up with that. I'm not exactly sure. But we just kind of make sure things happen. It's so interesting, too. I got post notification as Lordy tweets out, hey, Merry Flipmas. You got to like that. You got to love that. Got to like a guy that's got a little razzmatazz in his game a little bit. Certainly excited to kind of see where things develop. With this pitching staff moving forward, with Brian O'Connor and his great ability to get guys to school, and then Justin Parker's ability to evaluate. We picked up Ethan Armbruster over the weekend. He's originally a Texas native, but now, you know, at IMG Academy. These are national-level recruits because we are a national-level program that is on its way to win another national championship. And I don't think it's that far off. Mississippi State baseball is back. And you can see evidence of that by what we've done on a recruiting trail. Everybody said, well, the portal class, you know, there's going to be a bunch of Virginia kids. That's all true. But Brian O'Connor is building this program the right way. The roster construction is elite, and the recruiting rankings reflect that. Let's get ready to get out of here. I got to find something to eat. Yeah, it's been a busy stretch here. And for those of you that don't know, I fell Saturday. And when's the last time you fell? Yeah, following the game at Missouri, we're walking back, and I look ahead. It looks like, you know, the grass meets the sidewalk. Well, where I got ready to step down, it was like a 2-foot drop, so I fell. Now, I didn't break a hip or anything. Papaw's fine. But kind of banged up my knee and my elbow. It's not too bad. Jacob Bain was more concerned about that than I was. Hey, is he okay? I think so. But a little bit banged up. But we'll be fine. We'll be fine. And it just shows you that the open date comes at a great time, because even the riders are a little bit banged up. Yeah. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. You can dial 662-268-7601. Speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana, and she can take you through all of it, answer any questions you may have. I wanted to go float today, but with these abrasions, I think I'll wait a day or two. But maybe you haven't been so clumsy and you deserve a break, or maybe you need a break. You deserve a break, I can tell you that. No matter what you're dealing with in life, a little time to yourself to rest and relax can be a great thing. So if you're a person that needs a reset, or perhaps you've got chronic anxiety or pain, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Come check us out, True Rest Float Spa of Starkville, and join us over at jeanspage.com. You can get 30% off, but if you want to bypass the discount, why would you do that, Steve? Because you get Paramount Plus streaming platform when you're a full price subscription member. Matter of fact, when we get done here, I'm going to go watch the latest episode of Tulsa King and the first episode of Landman Season 2. Yeah, because I can do that, right? If you haven't done so, go to dirtynoblebook.com. You get signed copies of all my sports books, and When the Bottom Falls, that includes the latest one, The Dude, that did exceptionally well. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for that, for your support of me and for that book. But you can get signed copies between now and Christmas. You got about 5 weeks to get this Christmas thing figured out. Don't delay. And for the Bulldog fans and your family that maybe are, you know, just collectors of all things Mississippi State, if they don't have my books, now's probably a good time to get them. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.